We are all dealing with the impact of this coronavirus and the COVID-19 plague that has come upon us. I've got Dr. Yvette Mignon with me through the entire show today. We've dedicated today's broadcast as best we can with the facts, and Dr. Mignon is going to help us get down to those questions that are most pressing. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Well, my friend, we have an opportunity today to take a deep breath, let it out slowly, try to make sense of all that we have endured and are enduring with the outbreak of the coronavirus. Don't you look forward to the time when you can just stop having to say coronavirus or hear it said? I mean, I don't know. There is, in fact, a kind of weariness among the people I've talked to in the last few days around town, especially business owners, no doubt, employees who have been laid off, moms with kids at home, elderly folks who are confined and afraid to, you know, leave their living room, for that matter. Then that kind of weariness, that is to say a sort of level of anxiety at some level, some perhaps less than others, some at the point where they are really in a panic, man, it weighs on a person. And that is sort of in a strange sort of way, a kind of consequence then, even a physical detriment to any of us. I mean, if one is racked with anxiety and fear, and it can be remarkably, unfortunately, damaging to your system, making you even more vulnerable, to infections and all kinds of emotional disorder. And right. So, in our effort to dissuade some of that anxiety, and don't we all need a little help, we're going to spend the entire show today bringing you factual information. You know, the best way to disassemble a myth is to present the facts. Carl, doesn't that sound logic? I think that's right. In the face of rumors and myths and misinformation, you know, present what we know to be the facts. And, of course, in this era that we live, this age that we live in, where information is information sources abound, and the flow of information and ideas is, at the speed of the internet. Well, okay, so it becomes rather challenging, mildly said, to sift through what is true, what is not. It happens that in our community, While we, like so many, like all communities, are struggling with our own issues, whether they are social or economic, school closures, business closures, some that have not just shuttered, they have closed their doors, restaurants especially. We've gotten word of several that are just not coming back. That is not just a unfortunate circumstance. It is long-term in terms of its impact on local economy. So today's broadcast is dedicated to helping us process, better understand what it is that's really going on, try to get you in touch with some of the responses from people like Leon County Emergency Management, the Office of Economic Vitality, Leon County Government at Large, and in that respect, some of the financial opportunities, some of the relief measures that have been authorized and are now available to local businesses. And this is all happening here at a local level. We're going to get into that. And through the entire show today, we have a special guest, Dr. Yvette Mignon, who is the internist and pediatrician. Many of you know she is the CEO and the chief medical officer for Health and Wellness Integrated Healthcare Centers, one of the larger medical facilities here in our community, a longtime practitioner, a friend to many, and a friend to this show. So Dr. Mignon will be with me here throughout the entire show today. We'll be able to put questions in front of her and get an insight as to how, from her vantage point, the medical community and, as an example, her facilities there are processing those who suspect they may be victims of this coronavirus. And we'll ask her, too, to help us dig through some of the medical facts, some of the medical data that identify what makes this coronavirus so particularly troublesome, threatening, problematic, even scary, right? So when it comes to that, another reference for you is the CDC website. You can do this for yourself, cdc.gov. Great place to go. And if you just go to their common, frequently asked questions, I mean, that's an easy thing to do. If you want to just Google this, you go coronavirus, CDC, frequently asked questions. There you go, or common questions. And, of course, one of those is why this particular virus has become such a problem for us. Well, as it turns out, there are lots of coronaviruses that have been with us for a long time. And in fact, some of those are pretty well known to us. Some are as threatening as causing us to have a common, as it's referred to, a common cold. And then there are the MERS and the SARS beta coronaviruses that can be life-threatening. And generally speaking, this coronavirus now that we are dealing with is highly infectious, which is what makes it especially troublesome. The chances of death from the infection, of course, are greater among vulnerable segments of the population, but overall, your chances are pretty good that you're going to survive it, even if you've contracted the disease, which now is referred to as COVID-19. It's what the World Health Organization designated here a couple of months back so as to refer to the disease that is caused by this coronavirus. Well, in fact, again, survivability is one issue, but the fact that it can be spread so quickly, I mean, like measles as a virus, highly contagious, right? So the best strategy for now is to avoid contact and thereby try to tamp down on or reduce the spread of the infection across the population, which over time, yes, would result in more deaths, just given the statistics at hand, but at the same time would disable a fairly good size segment of the population. I mean, because you're going to be out for a couple of weeks minimum, and you know, with that kind of circumstance upon us, you think we're shut down now? You wait until a third of the population is laid up recovering from this thing. So that's kind of our status here this morning. We're going to lace the show with lots of great music and commentary and good things to think about as well, and helpful hints for you as you deal with this in your own home and your business. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, in fact, we're going to spend the rest of the show here today with Dr. Mignon. She'll be here with me here momentarily. She's in studio for the entire show to talk about what it's like on her side of the world. Yeah, you and I have been sitting at home, you know, watching Netflix and Three Stooges reruns or whatever you're doing. Hopefully we're going to have some suggestions for you there too, in case you need them. But in Dr. Mignon's world, man, all the lights are up and running 24/7. They are all lit up, and it is, I'll let her speak for herself, but you're going to learn from the front lines what it's like to confront this insidious attack, this invisible war that's going on, and the consequences are pretty startling. And people who suffer with a great deal of difficulty and then succumb to the virus, or to the effects of the virus, let's put it that way, because this thing attacks the cells in your lungs. I mean, yeah, you can't breathe. Game over. So it's not all bad news. And while we find ourselves confronted with things that just scare us to death, sorry to put it that way, but I mean, it's a scary situation. We have, at the same time, an amazing amount of heroism going on and community activities that inspire us. No less have we seen such things in the face of other catastrophic circumstances. And of course, for us, Hurricane Michael comes to mind immediately. But you don't have to look very far or very long to find out that in Tallahassee, people know how to come together. And we know how to put aside whatever petty differences we may have, or even some deep divides. You know, maybe people that just under other circumstances don't work well together. Not now. This is a time when medical professionals need our cooperation. We need to take care of one another. Food relief organizations like Second Harvest and Echo, all of them, they need a little extra. And for heaven's sakes, refrain from anything that is just stupid. Hoarding masks and paper towels and toilet paper, and no, do not do that. Please do not do that. And the only thing you're doing there is slowing down the process, because if you have those masks, well, guess what? Medical personnel who need them more than you and I do, I mean, now they're faced with a shortage. And Dr. Mignon's going to talk about that. They're making their own masks over there, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, this is the front line, and this is no less dramatic than a battlefield. You know, where an army hospital sets up with tents and they're doing front line. They're doing surgery out there in the field. Well, that's what's going on. And it is in that way a sort of process that is revealed day by day. You know, so they're learning a little bit at a time. Well, I've got a lot of good news. If you'll stay with me through the rest of the hour, we're going to have some great music. And Dr. Mignon is here. I've got plenty of announcements for you, too, about some financial help that's come our way from both state and county. And I thought we'd take a little moment here and enjoy some music. This is Horace Holloway and his song Paper Heroes. Let's take a listen.
You're tossing and turning, just watching the world go round. As the leaves change colors in other towns, and you're lying with the TV on, just dreaming about stars, counting down the minutes and the hours till you can make a run for it, till you can break free from all this shit. Man, these temporary people living temporary lives in a land of paper heroes with nothing on the inside. And you say you don't believe in hope, but I can see it in your eyes. Well, you're waiting for the leaves to change. Sun's so hot upon your face. You're trying to put yourself back together now that everything's been misplaced. But the leaves don't change color here. You've known that all along. You're just killing time, my dear. You can make a run for it till you can break free from all this. And all these temporary people living temporary lives in the land of paper heroes with nothing on the inside. You say you don't believe in hope, but I can see it in your eyes. You take one step forward and one step back. You want a hole through the floorboards, just living your life like that. And those bricks won't change color, and that lamp won't rise a set. You got a heart full of memories that you don't want to forget. No, no, not, no, 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 now. You're staring out the window, just watching passing cars, dreaming away the minutes and the hours till you can make a run for it, till you can break free from all this. These temporary people living temporary lives in a land of paper heroes with nothing on the inside. And you say you don't believe in hope, but I can see it in your eyes. Said, I promise if you take my hand, well, it'll be all right.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Health and Wellness Integrated Healthcare Centers, one of the largest medical facilities in the region, along with their Impact Behavioral Health, has been serving this community for a number of years. Lots of people who are benefited because of the work that they do. And it's our pleasure to have with us the person who is CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Health and Wellness, Dr. Mignon. How are you this morning?
Hi, I'm
did
good.
Did I get that right?
You sure did.
I'm reading from my well-produced page here on my website.
Yes.
On your website.
It sounds good.
Let me brag about you a little bit. Here is Dr. Mignon, who is an internist and pediatrician. She's a native of Tallahassee, graduated from Leon High School. Go Lions. She went to Tufts University School of Medicine in Boston, completed her residency training in internal medicine and pediatrics at Yale University Hospital in Connecticut, board certified in internal medicine and a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Society of Internal Medicine, American College of Physicians. And a friend of this show and a friend of many who have relied on her good senses and her medical expertise and that of her staff, very well organized group of people. And in the face of this onslaught of the coronavirus and the threat of COVID-19, they have been scampering to try to adapt and adjust. Is that right?
It is true. Yes, we've been working hard for the past few weeks, and every day is different, and we just roll with it and try to make modifications on a daily basis.
Because when I think of this raging fire that seemed to just spring up out of nowhere, you know, a month ago, even 2 months ago, it was really being downplayed among a lot of professionals, among the media professionals, among medical professionals. Everybody's like, yeah, it's a thing, but
it's happening over there.
Now it's a huge, it's right, it's over there. It's not here.
Right.
It's not our problem. It's their problem. And now you, as a medical service provider, as a doctor, with this group of professionals around you, you do this every day. You are in the business of providing medical services, and you're having to figure this thing out on the fly. Like my father, you're back there trying to put the forest fire out, and you've got a garden hose. I mean, it's maybe not quite so severe, but listening to you talk about the adjustments that you've had to make from day to day,
it is that severe. It feels that way. Mm. It feels it's a crisis. It's an emergency. For us, it's an emergency. So when it really, you know, came to the U.S. and started popping up in California, and we really started following it, you know, I would make new plans at night. You know, it would be a Sunday night, and I'm thinking, oh, we need a tent, you know, outside the office. We can't let the patients in. We have to start screening them. We need to see our patients that are sick on the side of the building to protect the other patients and to protect ourselves, but continually evolving on how we do things, doing things, making new protocols to allow the patients in the office, you know, wearing masks and trying to get those because we can't get medical equipment. We have patients who need their continual regular care. We have patients who have new problems and emergencies besides just this illness, you know, cut fingers that need sewing, or, you know, people who just got out of the hospital because they had a major surgery. So you have to still be able to take care of that, but also learning new ways to transition that into providing telemedicine. But that means to do that, you have to get your technology set up, which was for us already set up because it was in the works, but it made it emergent. It's just like all the kids who have to go from, you know, regular classes at university and school, and then all of a sudden they all have to learn fast. You know, how do I get on Zoom? How do I do my class online? I have to study from home and all of these things. So every day, you know, we've gotten good. You know, thankfully, as a private medical practice, we are a large private practice. But because it's our practice, I'm the CEO and the chief medical officer, I make decisions, and we're very flexible and nimble, and it allows us to develop protocols or modify as we need to. It takes
You're not having to call your attorney before you make what is a good decision on the behalf of your clients, your patients, and the community.
So even before, as they were starting to figure out how to set up the testing center at the Northwood Mall, we were already doing that at our office, although we had to scrounge around and go get test kits. We did not have a ton. And in the beginning, we could only get five because they didn't exist. So all of that conversation that they have on the news and those press briefings, you know, now it's becoming a little more available. And again, that's part of the fact that every week and every day it's slightly different. You know, the first week we had people wanting to come to the office because they had nowhere else to go. And we had to figure out, you know, our first test that we ordered and we sent them to the lab, they got turned away from the lab. They didn't want to see that, you know, people were not prepared to deal with these things. So it's been an interesting time. And we've been, you know, working hard, and we have a great group of staff members. And, you know, in healthcare, we do what we do because we care about people and we want to help people. And that is intrinsic. It's like, you know, the fireman runs towards the fire. So for us, we do it instinctively, I believe. And that's the nature. You know, I had written a piece about how all the changes we're making, but also, excuse me, about how, you know, happy and proud I am to work with the people that I do work with because they're givers and they're caregivers and they can't help it. And
That's why they're called to the profession.
Yeah.
Doesn't that remind you of first responders and firefighters on 9/11, whose training and instincts said, I've got to go up into that building and save those people, put themselves in harm's way, and lost their own lives? I think of that in relation to the kind of bravery and heroism, determination that people in your profession are showing, because they're putting themselves at risk. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about the use of masks, and you hear both sides. Like some people say, oh, that doesn't really do any good because the virus is going to be able to get, unless it's a certain kind of mask or whatever. And then on the other side, you're like, well, why take the chance? Just wear the mask.
Yes, yes. Right? And especially, you know, and for our staff, you know, because we come into contact with so many people, you know, this weekend, for me, because we couldn't get masks, you know, it was like, oh, we have to make masks just like everybody else. And just like all the other healthcare providers that you see on the West Coast doing that, it was like, oh, and so this weekend, you know, it was time to make masks, and it was time to find people to make us masks. And so using that, and yes, you know, it's running towards the fire. It's running towards the problem. And those people, those healthcare providers, myself and, you know, the office, you know, they have to separate themselves from their kids. Or I go home and my kids are there, and I have to, you know, take a shower and keep my distance. And, you know, not only could you get sick, you know, individually, personally, I could get sick. But then, you know, God forbid you give it to your own children. But that's what these people do. And we don't, you know, I always say, you know, one, we don't have a choice, or I couldn't be at home. You know, I could not do what I do when I have the capability of, you know, providing. So, you know, it is, it's a challenge and it's a risk.
She is the Chief Medical Officer and CEO for Health and Wellness Integrated Healthcare Centers here in Tallahassee. She is our guest this morning, Dr. Mignon. We're going to continue to talk more about some of these specifics and try to get some questions answered here. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Dr. Mignon, trying to sort through the ins and outs. We've got a little bit of understanding about what it is like. And then we talk about making masks. How about all of the people who are confined at home, right? Because I heard you say you're running out of masks.
Yeah, we're running out of masks. So this weekend, you know, I realized and texted out to our staff, hey,
I need to learn how to sew.
Yeah, I need somebody to start sewing these masks. We need to wear masks. You know, we don't have, we can't order masks from our medical supply people. We can't order gowns. You know, we cannot.
Right.
Or they just don't exist available. Right now. They can't tell us when they're going to be available. So I need everybody to find whoever can sew. I went out and bought a sewing machine myself and, you know, and we started sewing, and I said, everybody needs to be wearing masks on Monday. And so just getting creative and working hard and being flexible and being able to respond to that, you know, the day before, you know, that was our task for this Monday was like, okay, we got to get the masks and we still triage our patients. And then the other task, like you said, is, you know, we have our regular patients, you know, we're normally driving down the highway at 60 miles an hour. And oh, by the way, we have to then put in this new, you know, speed bump is in front of us, major speed bump.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're planning for next week and the week after that. So setting up the telemedicine, educating people about that. And that's really important because, you know, I'm concerned about people in many different ways. We don't want people to neglect their health just because they have to stay inside. At the same time, I'm really concerned about people's mental health and, you know, how they're feeling. I don't, you know, as we self-isolate or have social distancing, which is so important, it's still important for us to feel connected, to have regular structure, to not feel alone. So for people who are depressed, you know, it's just going to exacerbate that. Or for anxiety or people with bipolar disorder, you know, I had a fellow come into our urgent care who had cut his finger at 2 o'clock in the morning and needed, you know, needed suturing. And that was for urgent care. That's why he came. He wasn't my regular patient. I hadn't met him before. And when I asked more about him, and he'd driven up from South Florida actually to deliver supplies to someone, he had, you know, mood disorder and bipolar disorder, but he said, oh, but that's not important. You don't need to know that. Just fix my hand. I said, no, you know, this is an office where we have psychiatrists, we have mental health counselors. You know, this is an important place for you. I don't want you to be in Tallahassee, you know, getting, you know, psychotic or manic, not having the support that you need, or overly depressed. I mean, some people will think that, you know, bad things are happening to our society and that we might not get through it. We will get through it, but it takes a lot of, my saying for this period of time is reach out and lean in. And then our normal motto is because everybody matters. And it is really true. You have to reach out and communicate, although we're doing it in a different way. Yes. Lean in rather than out, because your natural tendency for many people is to withdraw. So you got to lean into it. and then and do what we can. So, you know, for us as healthcare professionals, we're working every day regardless. You know, for the people who have the ability to sew, you can help us by sewing us masks, if that's what it is. Or, you know, by, you know, some places volunteer and help other kids, especially our healthcare workers who have children who are in daycare. All of those things to make it possible if we know and recognize that we are all connected. And that's the only way that we're going to get through this epidemic and pandemic, then, you know, that's a major lesson. And and we have to do that so we can all survive, so our economy can survive, so we can help each other. And it's very important.
You brought that up earlier, the interconnectedness of us all. And we're, in fact, not just how we are connected to each other socially and emotionally and culturally, and physically, right?
Yes.
We've tried to accommodate the physical separation, but we still are connected to one another emotionally and socially. We have at the same time this interconnectedness of our economy, right? So if those people who are normally the ones making the masks are at home, well, that puts you at odds with your need for more masks. So then we have to, again, improvise, coming up with some other way of supplying that requirement. I translate that into everything from forestry and the lumber mills to the trucking to the grocery stores. All of it is interconnected, and you don't change one part of that system without affecting the whole system. So here in Tallahassee particularly, you've had restaurants closing up. Well, how many of those employees all of a sudden don't have a paycheck? And they're, one friend of mine has been laid off. He got a letter over the weekend.
Yes.
The restaurant's not coming back. That kind of impact, medically speaking, can be as well not a direct result of the coronavirus. He's not infected, but he's out of work.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm really worried, you know, because, yes, when you're out of work, when you don't have money, the one thing that can really stress people out, stress me out, is not having enough. So, yes, then they're going to get depressed or have these other issues. Or you might not go to the doctor because you feel like you don't have money. Or I hear that they're going to open up the healthcare market very soon again, which will be good because, you know, if you can't pay your health insurance, what happens? You know,
what
just
happens?
Like if people can't pay their rent, I hope that there's some leniency there. And in as soon as the government and their federals, plans happen. But, you know, it's a scary time for everybody. And, it's very worrisome.
I think that speaks to this protracted nature of the whole process. Once again, as in the medical field, when we talk about social systems, let's say governmental systems, we've been on the phone all week with county, state officials trying to figure out how to advise people regarding any kind of funding available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You get that person on the phone over there at that office, they're trying to figure it out.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So it's like that. This bomb went off, and we're all trying to figure it out
together.
And as you point out, the first thing you have to do is triage.
Yep.
Who are the people that we need to attend to most immediately, and what is our response? What do we do with that person who we know is infected? If they say, oh, I'm not going to self-quarantine, what are you going to do? Arrest them? Put them in a jail? Oh, I see. With all of the other inmates who are not infected?
Right, right. Yeah, no, you know, this week is different than last week for us. So because just like we have to figure out what the office is going to do and when all of this happened and really started to go into play, you know, the government, you know, the state government, the federal government wasn't ready for it. So we had to figure it out ourselves, you know, and we took action ourselves. Now this week, you know, just as the state government is starting to do, you know, get some of those things to play, but they don't know everything. So they're, you know, continually making improvements and making, because it takes time to make plans and put things into play and write it down and make policy and all of these things. But as we're going through all of this, our, you know, our state, our nation. Hopefully we can also realize, again, how that is one of the biggest lessons besides epidemiology, you know, which the epidemiology of all of this coronavirus course teaches us that we are connected and maybe we shouldn't do things that way. We have a choice to change, or you'll be forced to change. And that's what's happening right now.
You bring to the table this rather remarkable advantage in that you have been in this business for a long time, and you have a lot of experience, a lot of patience to back you up when you make those decisions. So, my friends, we have with us Dr. Mignon, an experienced professional who, in her contribution to this whole conversation, has been formidable, in my opinion. And we're going to continue this conversation through into the next hour. She's going to stay with us and try to get down into some of these specific questions that you may have. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Dr. Mignon here in studio with us, handling a lot of questions and providing us some insight into how it is that medical personnel around the county, around this community, are fighting the good fight, trying to stay ahead of the curve, as it is, trying to do their very best to keep us all from further onslaught. Now, in terms of some of the financial help, so this is coming by way of the Florida Small Business Emergency Bridge Loan Program, currently available to small businesses, business owners located in all Florida counties. Now, if you haven't yet applied, you can still do so. Or if you just have questions about it, it's being administered through the Small Business Development Center there at FAMU. Here's a phone number for you, local area 850 and the number 599-3407. Again, that's for this emergency bridge loan program being administered statewide. You can go to the Florida Small Business Development Center, SBDC. Go to their website, and that'll work. So get in line, because, man alive, you can imagine that line is getting pretty long. Here's some other news, too. That particular program is available for application through May the 8th. So it was initiated here just a week ago, March 17th, and now available through May 18th. You can apply. Governor DeSantis quoted as saying, "As we mitigate against the spread of COVID-19, the health, safety, and well-being of Floridians comes first. This small business emergency bridge loan is designed to help businesses, of course, deal with the onslaught, the impact of loss of income and employees, not being able to pay their employees. So this short-term loan you can apply for is good for up to $50,000 interest-free for up to a year. So that's a good thing, right? So there's some good news. Then you have Leon County Emergency Management wanting to have you informed. Let's take a look real quickly here. There, Leon County closing public access to county offices through the 19th of April, okay, which may be extended if things don't seem to be appreciatingly better by then. During the closure, Leon County work areas will be appropriately staffed to provide essential services through online and phone-based systems. Okay, so you can call them, you can get online and communicate with them that way. LeonCountyFL.gov is the website. Meanwhile, of course, this is some old news, but it stands. All state agencies are closed to the public until April 19th. Any Florida statute that requires a quorum to be present in person or requires a local government to meet at a specific public place is hereby suspended. So if you've got business that you need to conduct, and normally you'd be required to assemble a quorum or be in the same place at the same time, well, the Florida legislature is saying, nah, that's suspended for now, so don't worry about that. All restaurants and food establishments within the state of Florida are to suspend any on-premises food and alcohol consumption. So all of that, as you know quite well, I'm sure, is shut down. Meanwhile, the county has stepped up and they're trying to supply us with their version of a short-term loan program, up to $1 million allocated for the program, and funds will be released on a rolling basis. And the distribution of these funds, these are grant funds, not a loan, not a bailout. This is a grant being provided based on the number of employees for the business. Okay, so if you want to learn more about that, you go to Business Assessment Survey with the Office of Economic Vitality, right? So with that, you should be able to get all the information you need. And that would be my recommendation. Simply go to your computer or your phone and say, show me Business Assessment Survey, Office of Economic Vitality, Leon County. So that's what we have there. Now, more music. Let's get down to hearing about some of the people who are making heroic efforts. And so I thought, wow, let's bring Royce Lovett to the microphone here. He's got a song called A Hero Song.
When I feel the heat from the sun's battle blaze, I go falling on my knees, caught under crashing waves, calling out to you, oh, help me find my way. The only thing that frightens me is going astray. And they say, rock your body, but don't hurt nobody. And boy, don't lose it. Well, I think it's gone. My heart, my mind, my soul, I'm losing control. Oh, and so I look to you. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, all my friends are gone. I find myself alone. Morning song, I'm strong. She said, son, open your eyes, for you are the one to free the blind. A hero has a heart and a song to carry your own. Yeah, she said, son, open your eyes, for you are the one to free the blind. A hero has a
engine of battle, so I'm kicking it with Noah. After Doc in the bay, watching the sun do yoga. The big box pull up, fill up, hold up. Man, I see this whole game about quota. Mixing whack rhymes in the kitchen with some soda. Selling crack music to the kids on the corner. My people are sick, you a leech, I'm a donor. I'm a preach, microphone, eject to holy roller. But listen, dreamer, if you're still living it, get on down to that love song rendition of a scholar that I thought I knew the harlot better. Did she do it for the lover? Did she do it for the cheddar? Hey, see, I call her Cinderella. She taught me this song and she sang it a cappella. Voice so big, every note changes the weather. But like a melody, she put it all back together. Yeah, and then she tear back apart. She opened up the book like she opened up my heart. Hip hop been with me from the start. She's a sweetheart, but her swords they sharp. Yeah, so we best come smart. With clean hands and a flow that's high. A passion that never stopped. Open up and ride.
She said, son, open your eyes.
Wake up. Royce. Wake up.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Well, if you've just joined us, you know that in the preceding segments of this here fine radio show, we've done our best to encourage you a bit, inform you further, and maybe tell you things you already knew but might bear repeating. Leon County government wants you to know that this stay-at-home order is in effect, went into effect earlier this week on Wednesday, which is consistent with state and national policy positions on such things, encouraging social distancing and limiting public gatherings. So the county has said, look, from 11 p.m. until 5 a.m., there's a curfew. And that is to encourage people to stay at home. You know, you got to stay home. And to ensure social distance is maintained. And that groups larger than 10 do not gather. So under the curfew, residents may conduct essential activities. You can go to work, like if you're work overnight type of thing. You can go to work. If you have to go to the grocery store or certainly to a pharmacy, well, yes, that's permissible. So they're just giving you fair notice that they're trying to restrict our activities. If you want further information about that, you can go to flhealth.gov, flhealth.gov, COVID-19. And that's specific to the circumstances of the COVID-19 disease. Meanwhile, there are several things that have been canceled or closed. All county libraries, active park facilities and community centers, they are closed through March 29. That's tomorrow. And then let's see, canceled is all of the University of Florida Extension Leon County programs, events, and meetings. Household hazardous waste collection is canceled. All senior programming at the county community centers has been canceled. And those sorts of things are all just sort of in keeping with this general sentiment. So I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. We're going to take another few minutes here and enjoy some great music. This from my wife, Annette, who for many years has been celebrated as a vocalist and years ago recorded a CD with a song that I had written then called A Little of Heaven.
Jesus came to set you free.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Dr. Mignon, the coronavirus. Dr. Mignon, in your practice now, what do we know?
Well, the tests that I've run for patients, you know, initially it was hard to get tests.
Right.
Now we have more access to testing and we have more places to refer people to, like the Northwood Mall area and the Department of Health for testing. As well as the labs, LabCorp and Quest, and TMH are now running the test. So it's happening a lot faster, which is good. We do have the ability to order those tests. You know, from the state, on a statewide level, our North Florida region and is moving much more slowly in terms of the actual cases of the disease. But it will happen. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, every day, we're going to have more and more cases. And a lot of times patients ask me, you know, do you think that this is really as serious as they say it is, or the news or the media makes it sound like? And my answer to that question is yes. Yes. I mean, people are dying. Whenever you have an illness that over a 2-week period of time, we've had about 1,100 deaths in the nation. And unfortunately, because people feel well, and because 4 out of the 5 exposures, you know, actually spreading the disease happened when people were in contact with folks who didn't know that they had the illness, it's going to spread even more. And that's why people were getting so upset when people were having parties and these types of things. You know, New York is, you know, bracing for the worst, which is, you know, it's going to be bad, and people die, and even not just old people. You know, I have seen interviews with people who are young and healthy, and it feels like you can't breathe. It is the shortness of breath. I mean, if you've ever been in a situation where you couldn't breathe, it gets scary. You know, some people will have the illness, and yes, they're going to get healthy quickly. It feels like a mild flu. But there are other people who, and you don't have to be old to get to that degree where you can't breathe.
That's because the virus itself is attacking the cells in the lungs.
Yes, yes. So it's attacking the lungs and it causes a pneumonia, but it's not a typical pneumonia. So the pattern is different. So it has a distinctive pattern on the CAT scan. It's not one area of density. It's these small, kind of nodule-like, but round. I mean, larger, you know, like a fist size or maybe half of your fist balled up patterns on the CAT scan. And it causes extreme shortness of breath and difficulty breathing. So, and that's a scary thing. And a lot of people will heal, of course. Some people will die, but some people will heal. But then you don't know what the sequela down the road is. You know, are you going to have scarring? Are you going to have lung disease? And that's why it's not just about your immune system or your age, but people who have COPD or have, you know, cystic fibrosis or other, or asthma, like, you know, and that's, I always say, this is the time to stop smoking. Like, you don't need to smoke cigarettes and get COVID-19. So, it's, you know, it doesn't look the experience from what I've seen and from people who report their experience does not look pleasant. And I do think that it will be a serious illness. I mean, obviously, anything that's going to shut down our nation must be, you know, it's real.
It's real. And there's, of course, there's this plethora of ideas and information. Some are contradictory. Some ideas seem to contradict others. We mentioned some of the symptoms of the disease itself, the shortness of breath. Some have said, well, but it can also manifest with diarrhea or some kind of other stomach problems. What's your experience there?
I think that we're learning more and more, just like everything else that we're dealing with in terms of making changes. We're getting more and more details. So perhaps the milder forms look like the flu or, you know, are a stomach bug and these types of things. And then the more severe forms, yes, you feel shortness of breath out of proportion to what it should be.
Right?
Yes.
It's not productive.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's because the cells themselves are dying. And they don't have the ability to produce the fluid that normally,
right,
would be part of that whole defensive mechanism.
Yes.
Huh.
So it's different. And like you say, besides the, if you're not so severe that you're having shortness of breath or pneumonia-like symptoms, then those other vague, random, you know, I feel fatigued, I feel exhausted, I have a cough, or maybe my, you know, stomach, it's a viral syndrome. It is a virus.
A great way for them to connect with you or other medical providers is through this telemedicine idea, isn't it? And
yes.
You have the Hilo app, right?
Yep.
That's available. So, and because of the federal and state modifications, adjustments to policy and such, they can actually contact you. They don't have to be an existing patient. Medicare, Medicaid, I think, is now going to cover any of this kind of cost, right?
Yes.
To your understanding?
Well, yes, yes. So there's new changes that are coming out from the federal and state levels all the time. I mean, every day. And yes, they're covering telemedicine. In the past, it was only accessible for, you know, rural medicine when it comes to Medicare. But now they're allowing that for the next 90 days. And who knows, you know, maybe things will change in 90 days. We'll see if they have to extend it. But we use our technology is called eClinical Works. But the app that we use for that is called Hilo, H-E-A-L-O-W. And so now we're educating our patients, teaching them, calling them.
Okay.
Hey, do you want a telemedicine instead of coming here? We don't want you to not take care of your needs. Or if you're sick, we don't want to bring you in either.
Right.
So download this free app from your app store. And then we walk them through how to get set up. You know, there's an office locator and you can find us.
So what's the procedure? I should call the office first and say, hey, I'd like to download this app to my phone.
Right.
And you can help walk me through that.
Exactly.
Well, what's happening on your side if you're getting 1,000 phone calls at once?
We're very busy, you know. So the people at the front, we're working the phones, you know. So what used to be working the patient in front of you, we're working to accommodate those people, and we have to have staff members to educate. And it takes time to educate them. There's the Hilo app for your smartphones, but there's also a patient portal we can use. But we spend a lot of time educating people, you know, on how to make it happen. And, you know, the young and savvy, we had to develop our own protocols. So even as we're in the office seeing a few patients or, you know, patient care does not always happen in 10 to 15 minute blocks, at least not in my office.
So
we have to then develop a system. So if I have, you know, a regular patient in front of me and then a telemedicine visit, then we have to develop a protocol so that the medical assistant calls them, oh, Dr. Mignon's coming in, you know, 5 minutes, go ahead and get on the Hilo app because, you know, technology can be quote unquote glitchy, right? So we have to help people navigate that so patients aren't waiting on the computer and they don't know who's coming and when am I coming. And so every day we just make it a little better.
I'm just thinking of the average medical office when you try to call and you get the auto attendant saying, all of our service personnel are busy at this time. Please call back or please hold, or you get shuffled into a voicemail box.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And we call the patients that were already on the schedule. We're trying to get every day we get a little further ahead, but we work we work the next day's work, and then we're trying to work the next day's work, but you know, so that we can ultimately get on with next week. In all of those logistics, it takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of flexibility, it takes a lot of teamwork, it takes a lot of communication, and we have to just, you know, we come up with ways to make it happen and be as smooth as possible.
It's remarkable when you think about our history to be able to say, hey, it's going to be okay, but it doesn't get better if you start
losing it,
screaming at people. I mean, so we really need to give you a chance to do your job. I love the whole telemedicine thing. I think that's a great idea. Again, we're going to have to be patient, but the first thing we want to do is make that phone call, and then we can get it. Or maybe if I'm smart enough, I can download the app and I'm good to go, right?
Yes.
I have to make that phone call.
Yes, absolutely. Well, downloading the app, so when I do have patients who are in front of me, or if they call for any reason, I have them go ahead and download the app so you're ready for the next step.
I see.
And then there's a patient, an office locator, you know, so the next screen after it downloads. So at least that saves a few minutes for us on the phone.
And it's HELO. H-E-L-O.
Yeah, H-E-A-L-O. And
Google or iPhone, either way.
Yep. Any type of iPhone or smartphone, rather. Yeah. And then there's also a patient portal. So for those who may not have a smartphone, if you have a desktop or a laptop, we can do it that way. Mm-hmm. And then for some of our maybe seniors who may not have that, we have another mechanism. So it's just a matter of calling the office, getting through. Leave a message if you can't, you know, get a real person because we're short too. We're running up and down the elevator, all sorts of different ways, making it happen and at the same time providing care.
Talking with Dr. Mignon, we're going to continue this conversation. You stay with me, learning all about the coronavirus. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Homeowners and business owners are saving money and making dramatic renovations and improvements. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We have a massive inventory, so we have the ability to kind of play with a lot of parts, make it more economical for you to do a job.
Get sellers working for you.
Business is great. It's a great time to remodel. It's a great time to build, and it's a great time to design.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, 656-8453. Online at sellerstile.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Dr. Mignon. When you think about some of the more common sense, we'll say, things that I ought to do to protect myself, let's go through that for a moment. Because we're hearing, okay, washing our hands. Well, okay, when I go to a men's room and I watch men who... I don't know they've ever been in front of a sink before. It's hard to say. But if they do, it's a sort of quick rinse of the fingers and, you know, soap not included or it's optional, and then they're out the door. That is not the kind of hand washing we're talking about, is it?
No. We're talking about really washing your hands with soap and water for an extended period of time. You know, for little kids, sometimes they sing the happy birthday song to know how long to wash your hands. Really,
that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Because I'll feel better, won't I?
Yes. Yes, happier
too. Happy birthday to me. I'm alive another day without the coronavirus.
That's right. And that is the way to think about it. You know, washing our hands, washing, you know, for me, I even wash up my forearms if my, you know, push my shirt back and do that.
Idea.
You know, of course, yes, using hand sanitizer, but I've bought lots of antibacterial soap. So I use soap and water when I can. I use the sanitizer, yes. Cleaning, you know, keeping it simple. You know, what do we need to do? We need to clean our surfaces with an antibacterial cleaning spray, wiping things down. We do that a lot. The doorknobs, all the things that we touch, you know, using a wipe, or even, you know, I push the elevator button with my elbow. But very simple things. I mean, nothing to be, you know, panicked about. We wipe down things multiple times a day at the office, you know, at home, you know, or in your workspace, cleaning those places that come into contact with other people and doing it frequently.
Right.
Also, another common sense thing, which we've told people about, but is, again, shelter in place or avoiding excessive, unnecessary contact. You know, we have to get back to the basics of, of being with family or being with our work colleagues. I mean, thankfully, we live in a beautiful environment. It's time to get back to nature, you know, in small groups. Paying heed and being serious about what's going on.
That raises a good question, because I was thinking about that. We're supposed to shelter in place, but that doesn't preclude us being able to go outside and take a walk. We just need to do that with maybe one or two people.
Limited, yes, yes. So now is the time for people.
By ourselves.
Or by ourselves, which is good. You know, meditate, do yoga, you know, appreciate the birds. Take a walk, exercise, right? We can focus on that, just like it's, you know, time to clean the house and those types of things. You know, it's time to appreciate our environment, you know. So it would be okay if you went kayaking, or, you know, as long as you're not doing that with a lot of other people.
Right.
But also by enjoying our natural environment, or at least sitting outside in the sun, even doing your homework outside is okay, you know, is a good thing. It makes us feel happy.
And when we feel happy, I think our immune systems generally respond to that surge of, endorphins and
natural
all that
endorphins,
good stuff. Natural
endorphins, melatonin.
Right?
Yep, exactly. Vitamin D. We get vitamin D from the sun and our skin. So it keeps us...
I'm eating oranges like they're going out of style.
That's good.
Yeah?
It's good. It's
right?
good
so
for
now
you.
So I have a vitamin C overdose. No, that's impossible because it's water soluble.
Yeah,
okay,
it's good for you.
I did my homework.
Good job.
The fact of the matter is there's a lot that we can do for others, right, without having to have direct contact. And I was thinking about that earlier. The whole idea of telemedicine, you know, that I'm sitting there in my house and I'm feeling a little weird. So I'm gonna tele my doc, and I'm gonna tele in. I'm gonna use the app that I've downloaded on my phone, and maybe just in that conversation, that's enough to help me process. I'm better off because I spent the time doing that, right?
Oh yes, yes, yes. It's interesting. I mean, you know, I might be in my office, and the person's at home or on their patio. Or I saw a young man just yesterday, and he was, you know, at home. He's 14, and you know. And his mom was there. And so it is very, it's cool that we can stay connected in that way. And at the same time, I can order refills electronically. I do my normal job, just that we do it. I'm in the same computer ordering the same labs that need to be ordered or prescription refills. I'm asking you the same questions that I'd ask you if you were in front of me. And that's great. And the people really appreciate it. That we're able to do that, you know.
A lot of these concerns have to do with personal contact, understandably, because of the manner in which the disease is known to spread, and that is through
respiratory droplets,
right? So if I'm coughing or sneezing, that is not cool. Therein again, the mask is a way of protecting other people. If I'm wearing a mask in that situation. The question has also come up whether or not it can be spread with food. And the answer is not that we know. But again, there's a lot of unknown here. So apparently it generally thought to be spread from person to person. Currently, there's no evidence to support the idea that the transmission could be associated with food. However, going back to your practical common sense, before you prepare food, right, make sure that the work surface is
clean, that you wash your hands, that you're obviously not coughing and definitely not coughing over the food, and, you know, making sure you know who prepares your food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that they're taking those clean.
Well, I do all my own cooking anyway.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, so... Or my wife, you know, who is a better cook than I am. So, but that has a lot to do with a sense of maybe personal resolve, personal responsibility, kind of take ownership, right?
Yes.
Of yourself.
Yep, that is true. And protecting others, you know, so you're taking care of yourself, you're sheltering in place or minimizing contact, and we're doing that for ourselves, but we're also doing it for others and to keep our society to allow this virus to kind of, it's going to run its course. We're just trying to minimize exposure, which is also minimizing the number of cases, which then goes into minimizing the area under the curve, which a lot of times you'll hear the doctors or Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci,
right,
and other big specialists and epidemiologists talk about. Why do we want to minimize the area under
right.
the curve or the number of cases? Because
yes.
we'd like to, our goal is to minimize the number of cases that have to go to hospital because we don't have enough equipment. We definitely don't have enough masks and we definitely don't have enough ventilators for
right.
those people.
Right.
So we're just trying to shelter in place to minimize the number of cases so that we can get through this time and get back on with real life. But
and
that's going to take time.
It will take time, but it can be done. We got all work together to get that to happen. Folks, it's been a pleasure having Dr. Mignon with us in this 2 hours. She, again, having served the community for many, many years, now the Chief Medical Officer for Health and Wellness Integrated Healthcare Centers here in Tallahassee, as well as Impact Behavioral Health. So a good resource. And by the way, if you'd like to get to their website, it's hwfla.com. They offer urgent care, which is a great resource, and that's weekdays from 7 to 9, and then the daytime walk-ins are welcome. So you can just go to the website. You have all this information available, along with some very helpful videos from Dr. Mignon herself. So lots to learn, lots to stay informed with as a resource, your website included. Again, hwfla.com. Dr. Mignon, thank you for being so kind, giving us all this time today. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me, Brian. And remember, reach out, lean in, because everybody matters.
I love that. Okay,
you.
Folks, you heard it. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's only radio station playing all local musicians, their original songs all the time. It is the sound of Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.